Brother Queen, would you come and help me, please, brother? Amen. I was trying to figure out where to preach to the young ones or to the older. And I guess the Lord has put me in this way, so I'm going to preach to the young ones. So you older, pray for me, all right? And Mike said if I didn't preach, he's going to walk out on me. So don't be walking out, man. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. Well, I always may have you to stand, so let's not forsake it. Let's stand, all right? I want to read verses 1 through 4. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. While I'm sitting looking at it, you'll notice through there, money is mentioned three times. Verse 6, it has money. And then on verse 15, give me for money. And I don't want to preach there in the area of money, but I will give you the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased. Look up at chapter 20, verse 43. You find him in the same condition, heavy and displeased. He's in shape there. He's very sad. You know, teenagers say, so sad. That's so sad. I called my daughter one day. I call her every day, try to. Out on here lately, it's not been so. But I said, don't look at her. I said, so sad. She said, I didn't see that, Dad. So sad. And because the word which Nathan, that's about the conversation going on between Jezebel and Ahab. It's so sad, honey. It's so sad things like that happen to you. But which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and he turned away his face, and would eat no bread. You can be seated. I want to preach the statement of all that's been said, and many people have preached, not for sale. Not for sale, you know. And may I just begin to say that my home is not for sale. No, my home is not for sale. Amen. I have saturated my home with prayer. Amen. My home is not for sale. Amen. I nailed that up one day when I got saved. I put it right across the top of my door. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I still mean it after 26 years, buddy. It's not for sale. Amen. It's not for sale. Not only saturated in prayer, but God put that work together there in His providence. I'm thankful tonight that I have met my wife, and I'm glad for the place that I've been raised up, and I'm glad of the inheritance that God has given me. I'm thankful for the position that I have had in my life, and the people that I've met, and the men that I know, and all the places that I've been, and all the men of God that I know is in my history and my background. I've got a great inheritance, friend. And I'm glad of that work that there. My home in the providence of God was in a great place. Amen. I'm thankful for my inheritance. I'm saturated by prayer. It's sought by providence. And Satan would love to divide it.
Satan would love to do anything in the world to get rid of my home. Amen. And he's doing everything he can to destroy it and to divide it. But I'm glad tonight. I want to tell the devil, I know I make a lot of mistakes, and I'm as mean as a junkyard dog at home. If you don't think so, ask my wife. I'll preach down the road, in the house, on the ball field, on the stadium. I tell this world, and I'm telling the devil, I'm not for sale. Amen. My home is not for sale. My home is not stead you side up there, not for sale. Not for sale. Amen. Not only my home not for sale, my heart's not for sale. Amen. My heart's not for sale for sinners. Amen. My heart went after sinners when I first called, now it's my call to preach. God set me in a church in 1.5 years. I didn't even know where the Bible, books of the Bible were at. I didn't know nothing, but I wanted God. That's all I knew. And I, for 1.5 years later, I was in a church, pastoring a church, and couldn't even know the books of the Bible. I had, when God gave me 10 young preachers out of a youth revival under Jeff Clemens, and I had to go to school with them. Amen. I went to school and went to a Bible Institute up the road and went under the Titus Foundation from Brother Dr. Robertson and sat there, and guess who my teacher was? A pastor. Amen. Guess who that teacher was? It was my own pastor. Brother Jones was my teacher in that Bible Institute. 3 years of it. Amen. And everybody say, I want to say, but I've got a desire to see sinners saved. I wasn't worried about where everybody up the road was going to come down there with me. I wasn't worried about whether the preachers were going to endorse me or whether or not everybody's going around. I know God can save. I knew He was able to save. And I love sinners. Amen. I love sinners. Amen. I went after sinners. I didn't go after the men up the road to try to build my church. Say amen right there. Amen. After sinners, my heart was for the lost. Now I will say that my heart is not for sale because my heart was for sinners. And I know it's not for sale. I want to let all the Calvinists know that. Amen. After a while, you get real smart in those scriptures and you forget about soul winning. I mean, you get in the depths of it, and you'll forget about the fella up the road and all down the road, and you won't think you can build a church no more because, you know, it's such a day that it is. Boy, I'm told to tell the devil today, my heart is not for sale for sinners. I still want to love sinners. Oh, preach down there, Brother Leland, his young people shouting it out. I mean, running through the door, jumping out the side, passing out tracks, standing out there at the stop sign, preaching about. One boy got up the other night. He said he's sitting there, and oh, that marksman, anybody know the marksman? Brother Mark preached, the priests don't try tears. He said, why don't we try tears in these days? We tried everything else. Why don't we try weeping? Why don't we try tears, a little crying about it? I remember I used to weep, brother. I used to get before my church. I'd get up every morning. I'd go down there in front of my little, where my church is at, and I'd lay right there in front of that altar, and lay right there and just groan and cry and groan and cry. I didn't say a lot of things, didn't say much, but I ought to have been broken over those people that need the Lord and know that there's a broken heart. I'm not for sale for a heart for sinners, all right? I'm also not for sale in my heart for the saints of God. I want to say tonight, I've learned down through the time, though, that the saints of God take a lot of crushing blows in their life. There's a lot of things happen to them that you don't understand. I want to say that I want to learn how to love the saints of God and learn how to help them and not hurt them in this day we're living in. Everybody's afraid we're going to hurt each other because we're hurting anyway. I want to say I want to have a heart that don't want to hurt people. In my heart, they say, Brother Harvey, I realize your heart, yet you love me. And I hope and pray that you realize that in my heart, I love people of God. I love your life. I love where you're suffering. I love what you're doing. I want to say my heart is still for the saints of God. For the saints of God. And understand the crushing blows that come in their life. I got to hurry. Amen. My heart is for sinners, and I'm not for sale to tell the Calvinists that. My heart is for the saints that have been crushed by life's blows. My heart is for the Savior that was crucified. It's not for sale, buddy, on my heart for the Savior. So who was it sung Jesus, lover of my soul here tonight? Somebody sung Jesus, lover of my soul. Oh, my, I've been a many night in that recliner after these years. And I've been pain of my heart where I hurt my body as I lay. I hurt all over and things, you know, and the weary. I'll go in the recliner sometime. Now just lay back. I hope you got one. I know you're going to get one. Don't worry about it. You're going to find your place. You're just laying there. Your mind's going everywhere and everything in the world's going through your mind. Everything's hurting to you. And all of a sudden, all you can do is just say, Jesus, lover of my soul. I just start singing it there. I know to thee I'll rush. I'll come to you. Amen. I want to say, brother, I know that Jesus, I know my heart still, I know my Savior, and I love Him, amen. I love my Savior. Amen. Oh, Eddie Davis, anybody know Brother Eddie? Back when we all started, Jeff Clemens, Eddie Davis, Brother Durham, and all that bunch went down there. Old Brother Durham come in one morning on the old-fashioned fellowship. He had been with Gordon Carpenter in a meeting on prayer. Been up all night that morning on prayer. He come in there, boy, and he said, I just feel bad. He said, that old-timer, get down and pray. And show him how to pray. Oh, Brother D.C. got so full of God. And he got the crying going on, brother. And that bunch got the happy Lord. I mean, all us preachers are there. And we just got, hey, I got an inheritance, Brother Durham. I got an inheritance. Oh, Brother Hogan. And oh, our brother here sitting here. These are the inheritance of our churches. These men of God, young people. They're the very roots and the very foundation of old time religion, of the way of God, and I'm not for sale with it, amen. I'm not for sale with it, amen. No way whatsoever. We get to sing, old Eddie Davis used to get to singing, Jesus, lover of my soul, son, we'll have a fit. Amen. We get to singing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, singing an acapella. The men of God just start singing. And the old timers used to say amen right there. Just say amen right there. Didn't take a lot of grammar about that. Just say amen right there. Old Billy Mitchell used to say amen right there. You know, and all kinds of old timer ways, inheritances. I don't trust you. You got a mustache. I had to find that in here somewhere. Brother Shock wanted me to. Hey, he can't have my heart for sinners. He can't have my heart for the saints of God. He can't have my heart for the Savior. And I also want to say tonight, he can't have my inheritance because it's not for sale, because it was given to me of my fathers. Of my fathers. Now, I want to talk to the young people right now. You're ashamed of old-time religion. You're ashamed of God. You're afraid to get in front of this world and say, Jesus saves. Hey, you're ashamed to get up on the side of the street or some young lady to throw those hands up and shout for the praise of God and glorify God and give all your heart unto God. Amen. You're ashamed of it. You're ashamed of it. Amen right there, amen. They used to have a hunger and a thirst for God. They'd come to camp meetings. You couldn't hold them down. You hear me? You ain't ever shouted your socks down, have you? No, you ain't ever shouted till your socks is down around your ankles. You've never run enough to get the perspiration in you either. Oh, Brother Sammy, say, how about some young men right there just take a little lap around here? How about some young men right there just take a little lap? They'd walk behind him and it would make no difference. I said, Brother Sammy, say, how them little preachers all the time follow him around? They just watch him. All they do is just watch him. I got to hurry. Can you remember? Can you say that? Can you understand or take a little thought about where that this young man might watch his daddy build that inheritance, started growing that vineyard, started digging the ground up, started putting the vines in there, started seeing all the toil and the sweat and the hardness of getting it done, making that vineyard there, getting it ready for that boy, going to give it to him someday, building up that vineyard. I know that some of you don't have that kind of inheritance. Some of you don't have that, but most of you tonight have a godly heritage, buddy. Most of you sitting here tonight have a godly heritage. You know the sweat of your fathers. You know the blood that they had to go through. You know the Baptist divisions and the fights and everything else that took place. You know what they had to pay for that little old vineyard. It might not have been much in the eyes of this old world. It might not have been much above the secular power. It might not have been much for those down the road. It might not have been much for all of my relatives that got all kinds of money and got all kinds of riches and got everything else. And I sit here trying to make another dollar and trying to get another piece of bread. And I know what our relatives have. I say to you right now, I'm glad my daddy put that vineyard there. My daddy wouldn't sell out. My daddy wouldn't sell out. He said, not for sale. A long time ago, he said, not for sale. I want to say tonight, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. Oh, God, religion is not for sale. It's not for sale. You can tell all that, your little seminaries and your Mr. Doctors and everything. You can tell that, all those big methods and everything else. You go into their church and go into their school. You can't say amen. You can't get out of the seat. You can't raise your hand. You can't honor God. Hey, you can have that dead bud. And I'm so glad that you have your pulpit manners and you're very well able to take care of the Bible and be able to exegete the Scriptures and all your hogwash. Oh, Belly, Ed Ballou, where's that lady? Ed Ballou, you know what he would say to that? He started Rock of Ages. He'd say, buzzard puke. Buzzard puke, brother. Buzzard puke. Don't slobber all over you, buddy. One day that man died. That boy had that inheritance named Naboth. He got to inherit it. I remember when my daddy died. He brought all the kids into the room. He died of cancer. And let's get on with this so I can get the rest of this out. He took us all in there. All three of the boys were preachers. My sister's married to a preacher. Had nephews preachers. My uncle was a preacher. Claude Harvey. He started the Bible Baptist. My uncle and my daddy left out when the Bible got to where they started using the New Version in the quarterlies. When they started putting the RSV and all that other in them quarterlies, they wasn't going to put up with that. They were King James men. They were King James men. They knew a lot more back then than you think they knew. I talk to young preachers all the time and try to tell them what the church is all about. This young generation don't know what the church is all about, brother. They don't know what the church is about. They really don't know. They got a lot of school education, but they don't know the church. Gee, I say to you, my friend, it wasn't a man that called me. It wasn't no program or no place or no person, no place. It was the Lord that called me. It was God called me. And He ordained me a preacher in His church. The organism, the living of God, the very foundation. I'm in the church, not a building, brother. I'm in the church. It's God's work. It's not man's work. It's God's work. And it's our inheritance, amen. And you can tell every one of these reprobates and all this other junk that ain't of God that it's not God's. You better understand, young men, it's God's work. You don't even take ordination as anything consecrated or dedicated no more. Most of them won't have an ordination so they can get a number of people there. Or say they had a big gathering. Just a little vineyard. I say that my godly daddy that night, he was all around him. He took my brother Sonny, which fell in the pulpit with an aneurysm back about years ago, and he ain't never been able to get back up. Every night he'd be out soul winning, every night he'd be knocking on the door. He kept him up all night and gave him the message, said, "Here's what I want you to preach." And what he's supposed to preach was, "You must be born again." Yeah. He said, "When you get them all in there, just roll me over a little bit and start preaching, you must be born again." When in that church at that time, Brother Ed Parton was the pastor. Our church has only had three pastors. Kenneth Hicks, his wife died. I got to go preach the funeral tomorrow. I got to go tomorrow to preach the funeral for old Kenneth Hicks. I'm going to say something to you about the Herman Baptist Tabernacle. Laying in the corner of that little old building is a King James Bible. Kenneth Hicks took a King James Bible, Schofield edition, and in the corner when they started laying the block around that little old building, little mission house, it started in a mission house. They put a corner in that very corner, a brand new Schofield King James Bible in the corner. And that was the cornerstone for that church. And then when Brother Kenneth went home one Sunday afternoon, about 10 years of pastoring there, he went home and he had a heart attack and died right there in his house on a Sunday afternoon. Preachers everywhere from the Carolinas and everywhere has come to him. And old Sister Beulah, she just went on. She just kept a-getting it. And then Brother Ed Parton came down there and pastored for 17 years. And he came in there and, man, he was cleaning them up. He was cleaning them up, brother. Cleaning them up. And for our years, he was selling them out and setting them in a way. And Brother Jones came in there, and he'll be there 30 years here pretty soon, 30-something years. What I want to say about that, the foundation of the Herman Baptist Tabernacle is a King James Bible in the corner. And guess what Brother Jones is? He's a King James Bible conference speaker. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Son, he ain't nothing like me. I know that. He ain't nothing like that. They say, "How in the world did you come out of Brother Jones?" I didn't. I come out of God. They say, "Man, why do you say, hey, man, he's just my pastor." And I want to say, you say, "You're wild as it can be. You're wild as me." When I go into my home church where Brother Jones is, I submit to the authority of Brother Jones. He don't have to rant. He don't have to jump and holler. He'll put that finger at you just as straight and say it real quietly and calmly. But you'll know what he said. You get my drift, amen. You know what he said, do you? And the submission to that authority. I say the foundation of the church is the Bible, and the work of it is, and the inheritance that you have, it's not for sale, brother. It's not for sale because Daddy told us that night. He said, "Carry on, children. Carry on." I was wanting to preach on Elijah just a little bit about when that Elisha wanted a double portion. He said, "If you see me when I leave." And he did. He stayed faithful. He ran right behind him all the way. And he was there. "If you see me when I leave, how are you going to still be in the service when some of these old ones depart? Are you going to still be hanging around when some of them are around? Are you going to still be hanging on their coattail when they're going around and when they depart?" Some of them leaving out. And brother, today ain't such a day. They're leaving out nowadays. They're leaving out left and right. And we ain't got nobody to pick up the mantle. There ain't nobody want to pick up the mantle no more. They don't want to pick up the mantle. When my daddy left out, brother, he dropped his little King James Bible, his mantle. He laid that old Bible down, and guess what? Three of his sons picked it up. Amen. Three of them picked it up. And he said, "Carry on, children. Carry on." And I want to say tonight, I'm as bad as my old Uncle Claude was. He was known as Shelton Harvey. He'd get up and do them just like that. And people get saved. The power of God would fall in the place. He'd jump up and down. You say, he ought not act like that. He went down to the Ford Conference when John R. Rice was preaching. Walked in there that day while John R. Rice was preaching. And he got up there and John R. was preaching. Oh, my uncle got out of the seat, went running down through the aisle, go, woo, 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 and jump around. And Brother Rice looked down at him and stopped all of a sudden and said, "Preacher, I don't mind you shouting, but how many souls have you seen saved?" 10 today. How about you? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hallelujah. 10 today. How about you, Mr. Rice? I say to you right now, one little young preacher took me down there to show me John R. Rice's place, and I'm not putting him down. And all he could think about was looking at John R. Rice's graveside. All he could think looking about is a great work there. And done. I said, son, I didn't say it to him. It just tearing me up. I said, I'm not against that. I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at some that are right in the face of you right now. Some man of God that's just as great as he is. That's just as great. You don't think much of it. You're so mesmerized by this big work and all this other stuff. The men of God sit right in your eyes and you can't say, I'm talking to the young people. Talking to young people, I told you old ones I wasn't going to preach to you. You don't see no young preachers on the front no more. Screaming their lungs out with a King James Bible tucked on with a tie on their own, sitting there with a suit on and ready to go. No, they're too busy having their pants hanging down, earrings and everything else, running around listening to some hot-pilled music and call it gospel rock. Call it gospel rock. Say amen right there. Gospel rock. And they got every one of the young people too, brother. They got every one of them. They're all ganging that. Why are they like that fleshly stuff? They like that entertainment. They like that works. It makes their spirit. I start having a time. I tell you one thing, brother. When the Holy Ghost, I start making joy bells come in your heart and the songs of Zion start to work it in you through the power of the Holy Ghost, there ain't no rock, rap, or anything else can ever get close to that. Can ever. Will that ever get close to that? They won't surrender too much. They're too proud. They want everybody to recognize them. Little Miss Society wants all the girls to think how pretty she is. And Mr. Boy, he wants to be Mr. Macho. There he is, brother. My grandson's right there among them. I told him, I said, you might be able to ball, play great ball, and be all this. But I said, when it comes to living to God, you're a wimp. Big old boy like he is, drop his head around all them people. They sit there like that 300, 245 pounds, squat 700 pounds, and be there. They take benches 300 something to crush you in a moment. I said, you wimp. I said, you're very big about pulling the football. Hit a baseball 400 something feet. Got all kinds of little things like that on him. I said, but when it comes to God, son, you won't take 1 5 minutes for him. I know, Pop. I know, Pop. Amen. I'd like to see a good holy grunt get in that altar one time. Jump up and look at them and say, Jesus saves! Amen. You know, why in the world he's gone wild? He doesn't go plumb crazy. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He doesn't go hung wild. Only God. Hey, I want to tell you, that's the way it's been. I'm going to stay in that way. That's the way I got in. That's the way they need to get in. And it ain't no other way. They ain't going to go to the mission field, Brother Jesus. They don't have a burden to go. They've been trained well. But half of them ain't even called. I just now getting to the place. I want the pattern of my daddy. I want the partner of my marriage. I want the partner of my marriage to be like my mother, not a Jezebel. Y'all didn't hear Brother Durham a little bit last night, did you? What Jochebed was? Was you listening?
Oh, my mother never in her whole life ever wore a pair of pants. Never. Never watched the television. What did she do? Oh, Brother Sammy says, oh. She would wash the clothes, fix the breakfast, cook the supper, and hang the clothes out on the clothesline. And I'd have to help her wring them out. And when she went up there, she'd have bobby pins all over that dress, where she would patch up the holes that everybody likes to wear nowadays. She'd go to the house of God. When she'd get to the house of God, the Holy Ghost start moving in. My mother, she'd get to doing that old woo. Woo. You ain't heard that much, have you? Woo! Oh, all of a sudden, brothers, 5'4", 100 pounds, comes out of that seat. You better not get around her. She'd beat you to death, buddy. She'd beat you to death. She'd come up to you and start patting you on the chest. She'd come up to you, brother. She'd hurt you. She said, preach it, son. Preach it. Preach it hot. Preach hell hot. Preach heaven sweet. She'd be there. Woo! Woo! I heard a preacher the other day talk about where that they throwed their babies, and that would be some kind of awfulness thing that where it wasn't right. I've seen them throw the babies, and not a one of them ever hit the ground, brother. I've seen them throw those babies. There'd be somebody there to catch it, and then catch that baby. And you know, those people knew all about God. They knew that woman knew how to worship. They knew she was full of God. They'd be right with her, and all of it'd be all right. It'd be all right. It'd be all right. I believe the spirits are subject unto the prophets too. But I've got into glory sometimes I didn't know where I was at. But I was very well conscious of what I was doing. I was in another world. That's the first introduction.